This interview forms part of a research study produced by FT Longitude in collaboration with Global Logic.
What if the key to faster growth, smarter decisions, and stronger compliance in financial services wasn't about new ideas, but about the platforms that power them? Welcome to Code, Capital, and Change, an audio series from FT Longitude in collaboration with Global Logic. I'm Emma Crescenzi, and in this series, we explore how financial services firms are transforming their tech to stay ahead of shifting business models, regulatory demands, and macroeconomic pressures. Today, we're joined by Jitendra Malhotra, VP of Data Analytics at NatWest Group, where he specializes in the implementation of responsible AI. Jitendra, it's great to have you here today.
Lovely to have you, Emma, and thanks for giving me this opportunity.
So to start with, Jitendra, could you tell us a little bit about your role at NatWest Group?
Just to start with, I've probably spent around two decades in the information technology industry and on the verge of completing 14 years in the bank. So I've seen a lot of changes as we moved along. A lot of technologies have come in. In terms of my role specifically, I actually look after what we call as responsible AI. It's my job to actually make sure that we understand the risk. We put controlled frameworks and implementation in place that help us to monitor every aspect of AI during its build, during when we're experimentation, and even once the AI is actually live and kind of delivering its outcomes. It's our job to actually make sure that we've got appropriate mechanisms in place to keep that in check.
So risk and compliance, these are obviously big themes in the AI conversation. Traditionally, compliance has been seen as something of a constraint on innovation, but increasingly we're seeing it positioned as an enabler of sustainable growth. So I'm wondering how you view the role of compliance today in the context of innovation, especially with those emerging technologies like AI and digital assets.
That's a fair question, right? I think there is the sort of a middle ground or a sweet spot that we all are trying to achieve in terms of making sure that the time to market for AI and its solutions is kind of balanced with compliance, right? So it's a very delicate balance, especially when we're working in a bank that is serving to globally customers in different geographies. It kind of makes it a bit more complex just because there are local jurisdictions that come into play. So yeah, I think it's a space wherein a lot of new technologies and frameworks are emerging. So we're trying to actually understand what's best out there, how we can actually try and implement and imbibe all those upcoming themes and upcoming kind of compliance requirements in our environment, right?
So would you say in some cases the needs for compliance can act as a catalyst rather than a barrier?
It does, right? So in a lot of cases, what we found out that these compliance or these regulations that are coming up, they actually help us to make sure that whatever we build in terms of AI, it is sustainable over a long period of time. I mean, I think there's a lot of competition in the market right now wherein everybody's trying to make sure that things get delivered fast and you get a good outcome. But I think what we've learned working on AI and this in the space over the years is that if you actually have the right focus on multiple things such as compliance and risk, it would actually make sure that you're actually on the right side, or it would stand you in a good position in the larger scheme of things and for a longer time, right? So from looking at that perspective, I think it's definitely something that is we use as an opportunity or as something that enhances our value proposition at all times.
So from your perspective, what are the kind of practical steps that leaders need to take to integrate those governance frameworks into AI development from day one?
I think we firmly believe that the success in terms of embedding or imbibing ethics practices and the right practices, right, is not just a part of one person or one team. It has to be that's why we call these as transformation programs, right? When we're actually bringing in people from different skills, people with different personas. So the way we're actually looking to implement responsible AI is we've got stakeholders, senior stakeholders from technology, from security, from risk, from ethics, AI ethics, right? So it's a good collection of the right people, which is helping us define the strategy and also making sure that we've got everybody on the board as we move along. Otherwise, it can get a bit challenging if you've not got all the right set of people engaged from the starting.
I'm wondering, with all these different stakeholders involved, do you sometimes find a conflict between the need to get, speed to market and the responsibility to build ethically sound systems? Is there a challenge to balance that?
Well, there's always a challenge there, right? We use a term in the bank, which is called as IRT or intelligent risk taking. With every decision that we take, we actually have written statements which talks about the pros and cons, because there's no decision wherein you can actually say that this is 100% risk-free, right? There's bound to be one of few risks that you're taking from when you're looking at it from different dimensions or perspective. So that's something that we continuously do. And based on the risk, it helps us to define in terms of what pace that we want to make forward. It has to be a consultative process in anything that we do. So that's how we kind of are trying to make sure that we are able to find that middle ground for all the stakeholders involved.
Mm. I'd like to, delve a little bit more into those dynamics, if you don't mind, because we know one of the recurring challenges in transformation programs is aligning all those teams with very different mandates. So, for example, product wants speed, compliance wants assurance, and tech is often kind of caught in the middle. So how have you seen those dynamics evolve over the years? You've had a very long career. Are you finding, are there new operating models or cultural shifts that are helping to bridge these gaps earlier in the process?
Yeah, I think that there are all sort of challenges, right? It's also to do with how the teams or the organizations are structured at some times, right? So I think in the earlier constructs that we used to operate, and we used to have very siloed teams. So there used to be one technology team, as I said, one risk team, one security team, right? Now what we're doing is we're actually trying to have multi-skilled teams. So the composition of the team is wherein you probably have representation from all the different areas so that you get all these perspectives kind of included as you're building the product, as you're actually trying to scale out AI, right? So that helps us to kind of reduce friction points. And it helps us to kind of make sure that those isolated conversations or those sticky points are actually addressed right at the start. Having said that, there are frictions points always there, right? So you've got different resolution mechanism in terms of the side that we have a design decisions where workshops wherein we actually bring all the set of key stakeholders in. We float out the agenda that these are basically some of the decisions that we're looking to achieve. And then we talk about the pros and cons of each options, right? And make sure that it kind of builds consensus all around on every key decision that we take.
Mm, that makes sense. Are you saying that data analytics is acting as kind of like a unifying layer between these functions?
Yes, definitely. I think data and analytics is something that's probably find itself in the hub of this, right? In our organization construct, we actually operate in a hub and spoke model, wherein all these different business teams, whether it is the people for whom we're actually developing the solutions for, whether it's security, whether it's supply chain, whether it's finance, because in this day and age of cost optimization and cost is always something that is a constant thing for us, right? So all these are different people that we need to engage, and we probably act as the catalyst, which is facilitating all these conversations to make sure that everybody comes together. And then, then you can probably have a better working relationship and make sure that you've got a path to continuously move forward.
Well, one final question before we wrap up, Jitender. What advice would you give to leaders in financial services who are trying to future-proof their organizations against, ongoing regulatory and economic uncertainty, but they still want to drive meaningful innovation?
One thing I'll definitely say that whatever work that we do in terms of future-proofing ourselves, I'm pretty sure that 99% of us would be actually end up being on the wrong side of it, right? So we'll get it wrong, but that's something that you should be open and you should be learn to accept that in this world wherein things are constantly evolving, constantly changing, you would not get it right at all times. So it's trying to make sure that you develop a mindset wherein you're constantly challenging yourself, you're constantly thinking about what could go wrong and trying to preempt those things. And then only you'll actually build some safety mechanisms to actually deal with those things, right? We will all get things wrong. It's just that, can we actually balance that out with getting the right outcomes and have mistakes on the way, but we are able to still forge ahead, kind of accepting those mistakes, working on that and refining that. That's the name of the game, right? In terms of refining yourselves, constantly trying to improve. So that I think that's the way to kind of look at it from a future perspective.
Well, Jitender, this has been a great conversation. So thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Emma. It's just lovely talking to you. And thank you for this opportunity once again.
This interview forms part of a research study produced by FT Longitude in collaboration with Global Logic. Thank you for listening.